Okay, thank you. Roxy, since we may run out, I want Nate or Alyssa to come in, whoever's there, speak.
We'll see you in the morning, Roxy.
Okay, I have many questions, but...
Some of them are answered later in what I play. I'll be playing something I talked to Ian about later.
Oh, that's the stuff he won't let us talk about. He'll tape it and then tells it to you, and then he won't let us know, and then he tells us we're telling the beans. And that's how he does it. He goes us into recording this shit to play out on the show, but then he can rat us out so he can say whatever he damn well wants to and comes out of our mouth and makes us do it. So he can say, Carolyn, see, he said it. We didn't say it. Ian said it. I didn't say anything.
But
he's the one that damn played it, and he made us say it. There we go. And then the worst of that, you make a damn video out of it, a YouTube out of it. People put music behind it. They're singing it around. Kill yourself. Go on and kill yourself. Go on and kill yourself. Go on and kill yourself. Oh, kill yourself. Go on and kill yourself. Why don't
what
you
about
kill
the
yourself?
Angel with the column and the angel with the spear of Longinus?
Be careful. Don't goad them, darling. We'll keep them off of you. Don't goad them and don't need to know about them, and there's nothing you need to invite or don't go gouging because you're very good at it, but don't do it. Not necessary. When we get you through the castles, then you can call them down, but not yet, okay? Deal?
A deal?
Deal?
Oh, I usually
well, everything,
if somebody tells me not to do something, I do.
I know, but see, that's the thing with Roxy. We have to make negotiations now because we know this about you. We're just saying, do what you're going to do and do it quickly, but it didn't work out well for Judas either, did it?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know what happened to him.
Bob, there it is. So we're saying, okay, darling, Bob, do if you will, but make sure we're close by when you do. We have to get you out of the soup.
Did you ask why Napoleon took the Quadriga?
Yeah, we did Napoleon.
Yeah,
and
we did all Napoleon.
And,
Napoleon. We did him to detail.
Yeah, before I Alyssa, do you have something to say, Alyssa or Nate?
Hello.
Hey. How's your mom or Nim?
Okay, thanks.
How is my mom?
Wonderful. That's why we asked you. She's wonderful.
Yeah, I figured that's what you meant.
Dude.
I think it's fun that I kind of get butterflies, like, right before I'm going to talk to you. Like,
what? We do, too. We think it's gas. Little bubbles,
okay, so
they'll bubble. They'll bubble, popping off little bubbles, yeah.
The people that I met in Austin, I think it was in August or September, it was a couple, a man and a woman, and they were working on a movie about Galileo.
Yeah.
Were they from another world?
Yeah.
Why did they want to see me?
Because you're interesting.
The movie that they were talking about, is that going to come out?
Not in this world. No one would watch it in this world.
It was about Galileo.
When they get it through, we'll drop a copy in your box. But don't go telling everybody. That's all we need.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah, they mentioned like a modern-day Galileo.
That's the same Galileo that really is Galileo. That's right.
Right. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, drop it in my box. That'd be great.
Do you like ghost pepper?
I like spicy things, but I've never had ghost pepper.
Okay, get some red naga. N-A-G-A.
Okay.
Get like the paste. Now get the ghost pepper. Don't get the insane and all that other stuff. Get the ghost pepper itself. Now we're talking about like one drop. That's all. One drop.
Okay.
No more. Because it'll scald your honey.
Just one drop of ghost pepper, like there's a liquid?
Yeah, it's like a sauce, a chili, ghost chili, not the pepper
is
itself.
Is a naga the same as ghost pepper?
It is.
I can take a drop.
J-O-L-O-K-A-I-A, Jolokai, boot Jolokai. is the ghost ever.
So
it eats some of that. It's hot, 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 hot.
Okay.
In food, in like a big bowl of food or a big bowl of soup. Like one tiny drop in a big bowl of soup. Don't eat it.
I'm making soup right now.
We know. That's the reason we stay. Put some ghost chili in it.
Oh, my goodness. I love cooking, and I'm realizing now that it was you all along.
That's
so
done.
Fun.
So why isn't the Charlotte done yet? Well, you got no bread molded?
Oh, that was Susanna making the Charlotte.
Oh, well, she needs to get tight and get right. Let's get that going.
Is laughter a fractal?
It works as a fractal, yes.
Yeah, laughter is a really special thing, and it's so natural, and it's
like nothing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like nothing else.
Orgasms and giggles for everybody. Do not do the Carolina Reaper. That's just too damn hot. Carolina Reaper's out of bounds. It is crazy hot. Don't do that one, okay?
Reaper, ghost, not the Reaper. Can't fight the Reaper.
Don't do that.
Da-na-na.
Carolina Reaper is too hot.
Nate,
hey.
You have a question, Nate.
Oh, okay. We were talking about the mouth relationship to the vocal cords the last time we talked. I was wondering if you're not saying any words, but you're sort of groaning or moaning, that's like super communicative as well. Like, is that
guttural.
Creating
it's
stuff or does
gutter.
It
No, guttural.
Yeah,
that's guttural.
Yeah, that's
so,
different
no.
than actually specifying.
That's burning in the belly.
So you wouldn't be able to create something in the same way as you create with your words, with the guttural noise.
Correct.
There was a term for that, Nate, verbum, V-E-R-B-U-M. Look up verbum, V-E-R-B-U-M, I think is the technical grammatical term for grunting. Captain Beaver versus the guttural people. Yeah,
guttural.
Verbum. And McLuhan does a great tetrad on it. I should read it someday. It's like pre-speech, and it's very good tetrad.
Pre-speech, huh? I like
caveman
that.
Talking. Yeah, pre-articulate speech or meaningful phonetic speech. Yes, Ion, I'm sure, has something. You should see if Ion has something to object to what I just said. Do you have a counter-opinion, Ion?
Do you have
We do not have opinions. We do not have... We don't have... Well, angles,
that's
yes,
we
have
word.
Different angles, but we don't have opinions.
Yeah, do you have a different
angle? You just
angle?
Did.
What's
you just did. Wait. You just not. Did. Tell her she just did. She said, may I say something? We said she just did.
We were talking about how... The speech and sound also affect matter.
Go a little louder, Roxy. You're too low. Sit up. If you're lying down, make your voice louder. We can't hear it.
We were talking about how both the speech and sound affect matter.
Yeah.
But we were making some hypotheses of how the speech is manifesting. Is it because there is like a lucidity behind the sounds, or what would be the difference between the morphing with sound and manifesting with speech?
The frequency of tone, toenails.
So tone.
Ion, in the fa sol la singing, they sing in a full voice. It's not like a passive, breathy, it's like, it's like projected, full voice. There's something important about that, right?
There is.
Is full voice related to ascension? And is that kind of what Esther does?
Nah, not so much.
Roxy, Ian said tone is a musician. What does that mean to you, Roxy? And his answer, it's all about the tone.
Well, the tuning.
Tuning.
He has mentioned the tuning before.
Do you mean gigahertz?
Yes. At least.
But some sort of hertz measurement.
Yes.
that implies the coherency already is. The effectiveness of the right, correct tone is already given.
Maybe given, but it's not prescribed.
You also mentioned the vibrational similarity or proximity, that somehow the way you vibrate is what you attract.
No, what's around you is what you vibrate. You don't attract it. You vibrate it. You're not vibrating it. That's what you got. That's not what you're going to get. That's what you get. That's what is. That's the is's and the are-ness is this.
Yeah, this is a important point, Roxy. I just got it from Ian the other day. The Abrahams talk about the law of attraction and lining up. That is, you adjust yourself to something out there that you're trying to match. Ian says the ionic version of lining up is that you force it to adapt to you.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in a will.
So it's like one is not tuning in, but the other things are tuning to you.
Yeah. You make them tune to you. Maybe that's what Captain Beefheart did. He made people tune to him.
Who?
None of your business, Ian. It's below your pay grade.
Everybody's
go ahead.
Trying to rule the world. Everybody's trying to conduct the facade of what is around you. But you have to control your world.
Well, you don't want to make a big issue out of it because everybody else is trying to control the world and it overlaps with you, so you pretend you're not trying to control it. That's how you control. Stoop to conquer. Can't be obvious about it. That gets into authority. Am I wise there, Ian? Was those wise words?
Yes, Bob's tried that. It didn't go well for him either.
I know from experience. Is that what you meant, Roxy? Is it what I said to do is what you meant by your words?
Yes.
See, I made you agree.
Whether you wanted to or not.
With me. Yeah.
Okay, now what you want to do? That was fun.
There is a house in Rome, the Villa Borghese. There were two sphinxes and also a Ionic temple.
And the Blackamoors were there, too.
Yeah, everybody was there. And Napoleon took one of the sphinxes to Paris. Why did he take the sphinx from Villa Borghese?
Because it didn't fit. Didn't fit. We moved it to back home, back to where it came from, not in this world.
Napoleon helps you there? I am?
We don't need him for anything. He did it, though.
Did he go to another world with it?
Yes, he has a Napoleon complex.
Because he could parallel world, that gave him the power to be an emperor? Is how he got there. He had the prerequisite parallel worlding knowledge.
Exactly, yes.
Why did he put his hand behind his front jacket on his chest all the time?
Because wolves scratched his damn skin.
Cosmic awareness through Paul Shockley said he had six fingers and he was an alien, therefore he didn't want anybody to see it.
Oh, Lord, fucking God. Yes, get burned, get burned. We're not listening to that. Go get burned. That's it. We're not doing nothing else. So Vern gets here. Got to go to Vern. Vern's up.
Yeah, Vern did not like Paul Shockley's channeling. That's
I heard he had a
Vern's
crab claw
Dave Worcester.
For a hand.
Crab claw?
No, I'm just joking. It's just... Translate over the phone. If we were
itchy. It was itchy. And he was one of the original world's tallest midgets.
Yeah, he was short.
In the antiquity, everybody thought the Sphinx was living sculpture and that it could speak.
It does, and it does. That's because it does. Yes, it certainly does.
What was your statement there, Roxy? I didn't hear it.
The Sphinx is supposed to be alive, and they said it could speak.
Ah, speak.
And it communicate. Did the Sphinx said something to Napoleon?
Yes, but he wouldn't listen.
Or to Bob? What would it say to us?
If I had to drop by, what would he say to me, Ian?
Bitch, better have my money.
Right? Yeah, I had to pay him. Well, there's your answer, Roxy. Next question.
Who built the Sphinx?
Bob.
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. Oh, for now.
It was always surrounded by water, and it was connected to the Nile. Was that also living water?
No. It was a version of it.
You talk about the angles. In Egypt, angles are very important.
Everywhere they are. They're just classic. The classic, that's the old version of that, rightness. So, yes. Do, agreed, concurred.
The shadows from the Sphinx and the pyramids are supposed to be marking like 9 different hours and also entrances to some passages and chambers underneath. Is that true?
Mostly.
This idea of time started there with these 9 hours.
The what started there? You talking about the sun calendar?
Yeah, there are like with the shadows, some markings that were supposed to be important during the day, and they counted 9 hours.
What was that about, Aya?
Yeah. Nine.
You mean German?
Hop, hobbin. Hop, hobbin. Nine.
Yeah, it's got 9 Stunden.
Sehr schön.
You say that a lot, Ian. Sehr schön. It's your favorite German phrase, seems.
So,
Can I ask you a quick question?
Come on, we'll give you a quick answer.
Lisa.
Was Susan Wise Bauer correct in...
Nick. What was the question?
I didn't see
it. It was quick. She said a quick one.
Yeah,
so
but I
got to
type it
out.
Right, what was it about?
Oh, so give us the long question. We'll give you the long answer. You'll like it.
Okay. Here's the question.
Wait now, is this going to get into Roxy's time? Don't get too much of Roxy's time now. Just a little bit.
No, it's related to the Sphinx. I just wanted to ask you really
quickly. Okay. No worries.
Susan Wise Bauer suggests the word Sphinx was instead a Greek corruption of the Egyptian name Shishapenk, which meant, quote, living image. Was she right?
No, the impetus is wrong.
Who are you naming? I can't get the name.
It's a lady named Susan Wise Bauer. It's in the wiki on the Sphinx. Susan Wise Bauer, last name Bauer.
Oh, let us do it for you. The middle name is W-I-S-E. She's a Wise Bauer. Not Jack Bauer. This is not Bauer.
Jack Bauer.
She's trying to teach you about the well-trained mind and the story of the world and riding with ease and the history of the Renaissance. And the art of public
history of the Renaissance,
ancient times, workbook.
Okay, let me bring in someone
workbook
else.
And the ancient story of the world, and the second last story of the world, and the mystical version of the story of the world, and eating the easy work of writing with the story of the world, and the complete work, the easing of the writing of the writing of the world, and through the darkness of writing the easy through the world, the writing of the complete. Recomplete works of the writing, the skills of writing, skills of the next complete, most complete works of writing in the world. Writing with the skills of knowing how to write. The writing skills with a new instrument without an ink pen. The writing skills with a pencil.
Susan Wise Bauer?
Yes, and the story of the world, and the writing with the story of the world, and then the revolt. Get all the way up to the revolt. That's pretty good. Then you have the complete revolt. And then you have the revolting. And then the revolted. And then the story of the revolt of the writing of the world. And then the Middle Ages. Then the re-story of the world regarding the Middle Ages. and then how to write in the Middle Ages, and how to write from the Middle Ages, and then the art of public speaking with writing in the Middle Ages, and then the ease of the Middle Ages in writing without a pen, and then the story of the world without a pen. Yeah.
Sorry, Roxanne.
And the best one, and here's the best one, here's the best one, it's the conquest of Constantinople.
Because
the history of the whole world. My process is I write, revise, send to my editor, re-revise, fact check, galley read, and promote my books, all of my books. And I keep rewriting my books. And I keep updating the books in my curricula. It's extensive. In addition, materials on teaching how I wrote, what I write, that I wrote, that I rewrote, that I rewrite, when I write, that I rewrote. Yeah. It makes it very easy to read books, ancient times.
Is she still alive, Alyssa, Susan Bauer?
Oh, my God, she's still writing. She's rewriting. She's busy. She won't take your call. She's rewriting the ease of writing from medieval worlds that are medieval worlds that are rewriting before they invented the ink pen. She's busy. The author of the well-trained mind. She's the author of this superfluous well-trained mind.
Okay, let's bring in someone else here. Did someone start to say something with a sense of urgency?
I just wanted to follow up.
You have a follow-up?
Okay, the follow-up is the next book that she's going. That was her most popular. Those are her most popular. She's got a lot of other books that there haven't been rewritten yet. We can go into those thoroughly, and we can have a follow-up. We can go through the whole list of every book she's potentially going to rewrite.
I'm not interested in her books, really, though. I just find it interesting that she suggests that the word sphinx was instead a Greek corruption of the Egyptian name something. I don't know how to pronounce it.
You can't believe it. She's now working on the 41st edition of The Well-Trained Mind. Right now. That's new.
Okay. Well, here's the last question on this topic.
No, wait a minute. What did Ion say about it? Is the sphinx from that word? Is she correct about that, Ion?
Well, no, indirectly, but no.
No.
So
okay, go ahead.
What was the word sphinx coming from?
Syrophoenician.
And the Greek word for sphinx, the second letter is pi. Phi.
Yes. Phi as in phylum.
Right. Phi as in the... Right, okay.
Oh, and guess what? Here's a newsflash. Today, she's semi-regularly blogging at Psychology Today about personalities of the past with nom de plume. Can you believe that?
Oh.
I like that hijack.
Hey, how they hanging?
What does she even think a well-trained mind is?
Oh, she goes over that with the story of Western science and the way it works. She's on the ninth printing of that one. It's good.
What's her middle name? Susan Bauer? There's a middle name?
Wise. We spelled it for you. W-I-S-E. We spelled it for you already.
Right.
But see, it's fancy new for Bob all over again.
She's young. Yeah, she's going to be quite shocked.
She's only written one book, just rewrites it over and over and over again.
She was born in 1968. She's an American author, English instructor of writing and American literature at the College of William & Mary, and founder of Peace Hill Press. Well, she's going to get a shock when she hears us talking about her. Will she hear it? Will she listen? We will email that to her eventually.
She'll be too busy blogging.
Well, if she's got her own press, she has to keep writing to keep her company going.
That's right. It's kind of like a doctor. You got to have sick people or they don't need you no more.
Well, look at this, Carol. It says the history of the whole world. That's something she wrote. My progress is I write. Exactly what I said.
It's funny when Bob says it. It wasn't funny when we said it. It was funny when Bob said it. Look at this. She writes a book of the whole world where we spent 45 minutes in Roxy's time talking about this damn book. And now Bob just discovers it for the very first time. Like
I'm not going to be fooled by anybody.
It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful.
I'm not being fooled. I check it out. She says, my progress as I write, revise, send to my editor, revise, fact check, galley read, but not live to multi-volume history of the world while living on a farm, educating my kids and teaching and doing a few other things. Holy crick. She says, I'm happy to announce the fourth edition of the Well-Trained Mind. Ian was not making it up. He's just reading it off the Wikipedia. More Wikipedia bullshit from Ian.
Very compelling.
Yes. Pretty good.
We was foreboding.
Holy
too.
Shit. There's a picture of the book. I think I have that book, Carol, The History of the Ancient World. It looks familiar.
It's in the library.
In the garage.
In 1936.
Tabula recensi emendata et in lucem edita. Maybe you were right. Read that with the right inflection.
That's Latini.
Okay, let's bring in a new voice. I don't know who this is. I recognize the name. Okay, you're there. 513.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, 513, that's me. Hi, it's Virginia.
Yeah, what's your name?
Virginia.
Oh, yeah, it's the other Virginia. Yes, the other Virginia.
Virginia.
Go ahead, Virginia.
I had some contrast to speak, which was really something. And against Carolyn's warnings, I Googled my symptoms.
You better stay out of that WebMD. You'll end up in the mortuary.
Have you ever heard of Ascension Flu?
But of course.
Can you tell me a little bit about it? I mean, I guess.
It's pretty yucky.
It was yucky. Unquenchable thirst, sensitivity to the top of my head, no appetite for 5 days, and usually don't go 5 hours without feeling hungry, profuse sweating. But now maybe it's the new drops came today, and now I feel amazing. The new generation of drops came today.
Yeah, they're lining up. But it's like a faux flu. You get sick, but you're not sick. You hurt like it, but you don't. You got it,
exactly.
But you don't got it.
Exactly. It's bizarre, but when I saw the word ascension flu, I just never heard of it.
Well, you're going to have a lot of that. Now, everybody's going to have, because see, as you are becoming, that's the reason we said Virginia Bell to put it on the thing, on the customer service thing. First question is, are you ascending? Because if you're ascending, you're going to have all kinds of these kind of things. The ascending flu, you're going to have the ascending dropsy, you're going to have ascension attacks, you're going to have ascension aches, you're going to have ascension pains. You know, like you say, oh, that's just growing pains, you'll be all right, it's just growing pains. You're going to have ascension pains.
Good.
So that's all good. Right.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad it's over. I feel better now.
Yeah. We're glad. We had to take off the shackles. We had to remove the shackles, darling.
Wow, that's wonderful. I'd like to know a little bit about the experience of someone who's around an ascending person. What kinds of things might they witness?
Now, this is referring you around an ascending person while you're ascending, or someone around you who may not be ascending and seeing how they see you. Which way is it?
Well, actually, both would be great, but I'm really interested in, if I were around an ascending person, what would I witness in that person?
Things that they adored and loved would change. Things that they would cut your head off over are fleeting. Things that were important were not. They seem to have a proclivity for spicy foods. They enjoy or can take larger spans. Used to, a non-ascending person, it's cold. I'm cold. It's cold. It's cold. I'm freezing. It's cold. It's so cold, cold. Now it can go really, really hot or really, really cold, and they don't necessarily notice so much. It becomes a bit of a, almost like a bit of neuropathy sometimes. Like you shoot them in the gut, they should really be hurt, and they go, that stings a little bit, and there's like blood gushing out of my femoral artery. But I don't know. Maybe if I had a Band-Aid. You can have a Band-Aid, that would be nice. That would be good. Thank you, kind of thing. They don't see things as serious. Big things like the government will send you the piece of paper that says we're going to destroy your whole world and blah, blah, blah. You say, go ahead, make my damn day. Go ahead, do what you're going to do. Do what you're going to do. Make my day. Or the country, Cuba, is going to come invade and blow up and Raul is going to take president, whatever his name, the abomination hostage and do something bad to him and all that kind of stuff. He's going to say, okay, fine, whatever. As long as my kids can go on to Puerto Rico, it'd be all right, no problem. You know, just kind of flows along, and then they just don't care. You're going to notice a bit more blasé, but now they can get much more animated about things. Like, if they say something against President Trump, oh, Lord, you better look out, because it's coming. Most ascending people will absolutely back President Trump more times than not. Yeah. So that's something to look for. So if anybody's got the burn, they're not going to make it. The burn ain't going to make it. So if they got the burn, it's not good. And you have to be willing to sleep with Melania. You're willing to sleep with Melania. Naked pictures have been portrayed for you to decide if you want to sleep with Melania or not, whether or not she can get it or not. But the pictures are available. And you can even compare Ted Cruz's woman and have a choice between which one you would prefer. But now that was just a retweet. That wasn't a real tweet. That was a retweet. So no worries. It's no problem. And so you'll also notice that they won't crave sugar. That's something very interesting. They'll eat sugar. They'll digest sugar. But you know how you see, well, some people are like sugarholics. They just were constantly with the little sweeties or the little candies or the little eating things. They'll enjoy them, but it won't be like that. It won't be quite the same way.
No craving for it.
But they'll enjoy it. Like if they have this, some people won't eat unless they're dessert. But when you have that, you can eat dessert, but that's not what you start the meal to get to anymore. You're processing sugar differently. But is that enough? There's more.
Oh, okay. I'll listen. Sorry.
There's more.
I apologize.
More meat. You're going to watch them become ravenous carnivores. There'll be no ascended vegans.
Okay,
you're in Roxy's hour. It's all right. We're going to leave you the space.
I'm sorry.
We got to tell you, you're all right. You're all right. Just let me just take over. What's going to happen now is if you are a vegan, you're going to shift and you'll start going into the heavy legumes and then you'll go into the tofu-y and all that crap. But you're going to build on so the next thing you know it's into real meat. And then nothing else will do.
Last Sunday, I really felt like I should, although it was against my passes path to my joy. My husband got a pork roast, and I took a bite, and that was my first bite of meat in maybe 50 years. And that's
when I
started getting ascension flu.
it's good because your body's been craving it, darling. It's been craving it. And, honey, let me tell you what, you start eating some meat, it'll be the best sex you ever had in your life, ever.
And what about that sorghum sugar? Do I need some of that, too?
Syrup. It's not sorghum sugar. It's
sugar syrup.
Get you some pig. Get you some ham and make some cathead biscuits, big old fluffy cathead biscuits, and some good cow butter and some sorghum syrup and eat some ham and sorghum syrup and biscuits and some eggs.
Okay. I'll try that.
Yeah. That'd be nice. But now, let's do the sorghum. That was a specific thing, and you can enjoy sorghum because it's delicious. But everything's going to move more to the meat side. And don't let it be so odd, darling. It's not terrible. What did your husband say when you ate the meat?
Oh, he was just thrilled. My mom was an excellent cook, and from the time I was a little girl, she tried to get me to eat meat, and I never ate it. I would eat poultry, but I just never in my entire life since I can remember being alive enjoying any kind of red meat. So I took the plunge and I tried a bite of pork, and tomorrow's Easter, so there's a ham, and so I'll blow everybody away and I'll have a bite.
Have a slice and chew it and enjoy it. You'll be amazed at how easy it slides down your throat hole. Now, darling, that's what an ascended person is doing, eating meat. So you're on the road to ascension. And now what do they look like when someone's ascending? They got a pig dripping out of their mouth. That's what they got. Yeah. The swine is divine. Ooh-wee. Now, if you don't like pig, if you keep kosher, eat your pork chops out. You're kosher, eat your pork chops at the restaurant. Don't soil your kitchen with chops. But any other way, eat beef, eat meat. Eat things.
Okay.
It's good. And don't kill yourself because it's going to be a shock to your body. do a little along, and it'll be nice. It'll be good, but it's so much fun. We're so thrilled that you're ascending. It's going to be great. Bob loves pretty people to play with.
Oh, thank you for the encouragement. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's dinner now. Can I ask one more question on a totally different topic?
You just did.
The fall of the Canadian dollar has been discussed lately, and I've never paid much attention to my Canadian income. It just dumps into my Canadian bank account, and now that it's losing a lot of exchange rate, because I live in the States, do you have any advice for me regarding these funds? If so, I'd appreciate you sharing it with me.
Take those funds and convert it into U.S. dollars and buy Southern Company and leave it in Canada.
Do what? Leave it in Canada?
Take
but what did you say?
Take those funds and buy Southern Company and leave the money in Canada so you don't have to pay double taxes on it.
Oh, thank you. Thank
It'll make up for your fall. Unless you want to go, you can flip it to pound sterling if you're scared of dollars.
Okay,
some people split
right.
it up. Pound sterling will be just fine. The euro is gone. And
okay.
if you've got lira, they're fixing to start trading lira again. So if you got bushel baskets of old lira laying afoot, they're fixing to be money again.
My mom was from the South, and she had an accent and a cadence
we
that was very similar
her.
To yours.
We adore her. Yeah, she's
and
wonderful.
She used so many of the little sayings and even little rants that you do, like the told and telling, and she'll say, she'd say swaller and frogs in your brain. And
swaller
and
frogs in
say
your brain.
How,
yeah, that's right.
How wonderful.
We ain't heard that in a coon's age.
how comforting it is hearing that accent and cadence. So thank you.
Well, that's how ascended people sound. That's the way they sound, yeah.
Oh, well, my mom was a wise one.
Yeah. Did she say Lord Suffering Cat?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful.
She was a book of sayings. My friends always said your mom's like a book of sayings.
Wow.
So anyway, well, thank you for sharing some
Susan
time with
Wise
me.
Bauer. Not as much as, not as much as Susan Wise Bauer now. She's the Bull Brummer when it comes to all that writing stuff. She could have taught Marshall McLuhan a few things. Maybe he'd have been more successful if he'd ever learned how to speak. What else would you like to talk about?
Just the fact that this evening I have an opportunity to be on the phone while my husband's engaged with March Madness and how wonderful that is and how the new RNA drops, the new generation, give such a sense of lightness and wonderful feeling. I have questions, but I just can't think of them on the top of my head.
Okay, we got one for you. Your pineal gland in your endocrine system is changing. It's changing.
Okay.
It's about pea size, but yours is getting a little bit bigger, larger.
Okay.
Very happily.
And that's beneficial?
It is.
Is there anything else that I am not...
The sighted ones see because they have eyes. The hearing one hears because they have ears. One who has capacity to engage the pineal gland can also engage the chakras and open the third eye.
Oh,
so
wow.
Things of the spirit of the land of the free and the living can be seen. Things of the dead and the spirit world can also be engaged. If you don't mind, if that doesn't mess you out or bump you up or run you out of your meat sack body, you're going to find out that there's a new circadian rhythm that you're going to adjust.
I look forward to it.
What in the hell's wrong with salt?
Nothing's wrong with salt. I love salt.
Well, good. Eat a little more salt.
In my mixture, a little more Himalayan salt. Okay.
In your salt, in your bathtub, and just everywhere.
I do lots of Epsom salt baths. Should I just put some salt in it, too, with the Epsom salts?
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt.
Okay, I love baths.
Hey, we love you, too.
The Dr. Dean cult.
She does. She follows what Dr. Dean tells her. Epsom baths, Himalayan
salt. Dr. Dean was my doctor back in the 80s when I lived in Toronto, Ion, and she was the most amazing doctor. Even when
she still is. We love it.
Oh,
we love it when you talk about her in the third person, like she's not even here.
Oh, yeah. I forgot she's on the line. Well, Carolyn, you are the best doctor
pump
on the planet.
Pump her up. But she still is. She still is. She was, and she still is. Hey, you got to hold on for a few more years, Carolyn. It's good.
She's helped so many people. But
see, it is a good doctor, because the bad doctors, all their patients die, so they don't have any old customers to talk good about them. But if you have old customers, then you're doing a good job, because they hang around long enough to sing your praises. That's why people like the octogenarians and the centenarians and all that, because if they've doctored 100-year-old people, they really know what they're doing.
So, Virginia, you lived in Toronto, and you would go to St. Clair, 598 St. Clair Avenue West?
Yeah, when you were in your house, when she had the practice in the house, and then when she moved to the office building.
Oh, that's 22 Kenwood.
22 Kenwood, yeah, I used to go there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take off my shoes.
Did you know I was upstairs?
I think I was vaguely aware that you were somewhere, but not too aware. Carolyn was the queen.
Us too. We have the same thing every day. We wonder where he is. Then we look at the sink and we find him there nervously washing his hands. Yeah, that's where he is.
I was there scheming and planning what you're doing today, what you're engaging today. I was planning and preparing and building in the 80s in 22 Kenwood.
I know. It was
Nobody
a lovely
knew.
House.
You didn't know. You didn't know.
No.
What'd you say about the house?
I said it was a lovely house.
Yeah, and the good blue carpets, I think, on the floor. There was a lot of carpeting, I think.
He doesn't remember.
Did you remember Lorraine?
He never lived there. Bob never lived there.
You remember Janet McClellan and Judy Turak? You remember the staff?
Yeah, Judy.
Do you remember Judy Turak?
I kind of remember the staff, but not clearly.
Okay, you remember Carolyn.
But,
well, what stood out about Carolyn? She was a midget, right?
Well,
she's a midget. You noticed that?
No, she's just lovely. I think I've mentioned before, but I had bronchitis, and I needed to get well really, really quickly, and I had a chronic case of bronchitis, and she gave me a recipe for a poultice to put on my chest overnight. The next morning I woke up, and my bronchitis was gone.
Wow.
And she would give me drops because I was very shy. I got her her first
flower book
that she published, and she prescribed for me things for my shyness. I eventually did overcome my shyness. I still am not outgoing, but she really helped me in so many ways. So
and now, 50 years later, you're eating pig.
And I guess the biggest thing is I'm all positive. She told me way back in the day to go ahead and start eating free-range poultry and a little fish. So I have done that throughout the years.
Right. Yeah, you said, Carolyn, you
know, it's her fault. She could have told you to eat swine 100 years ago and you didn't do it. She held you along. That's okay. But you're over it now. She'll tell you now she'll eat raw meat. Give you some steak tartare, honey. You'll get it right. It's great.
Well, I'll work up to that.
So, Carolyn, the little book happens in the late 80s. We're not at 22 Kenwood. So did you go to Carolyn for many years in the 80s?
It was when you were at the house. I never went out. I was generally a very healthy person. But I did visit the office at the house many times. And then seldom when you moved to the office at St. Clair or wherever it was, I didn't go there very often. And then I just didn't go to the doctor much anymore.
Well, Carolyn's book, your book has to come out in the early 90s, Carolyn,
It was a little booklet on the Bach flower remedies. I gave it to a friend who had cancer.
Carolyn didn't do a Bach flower remedy book, but she had some Bach flower remedy information at the end of her first book, When You Can't Reach the Doctor.
Okay.
In the late 80s.
Okay.
Maybe that was it.
Well, maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
Yeah, you thought Carolyn did everything. She didn't do it all.
Maybe I thought she had written it,
but she did prescribe.
Some drops for me to put under my tongue for shyness.
Does it cause shyness or does it kill shyness?
I don't know.
What about DMT?
I don't know what DMT is.
Oh, you're going to be producing it in your pineal gland.
Oh, okay. I'll look it up.
That'd
okay, very
fun.
Good, Virginia. Thanks for your information.
That's so good. It's going down like memory lane. That's so nice. So
well,
it's
thank
good.
You. Thanks, Roxy.
Welcome to America.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to...
That's so wonderful, Bob. That's so good. She's eating meat. That's just so wonderful. Makes us want to cry. It's so nice.
213, you're on.
Hey, Carbon. It's Carbon Nation.
Carbon ionization.
Dude, feel it.
Yes.
What's going to be the outcome of this political charade?
Trump wins by landslide.
Who? Trump's going to win by a landslide.
President Trump, yes.
President Trump, and you're calling him that already.
Well, yeah, Bob's put him in.
Yeah, he's already President Corbin. He's the word that makes the market. Everybody's forced to react to him.
Even Nostradamus foretold of him.
Quote it. Nostradamus told of him in what way? What fashion did he reference him in?
6 year, third quatrain.
Please repeat that. I'm sorry.
You'll have to get it in 3.5 years.
You're saying the 6 year ion. What's that? He puts it in centuries and
well,
then
six quatrain. Centuries and then the quatrain. Yeah, that's right.
Six, and what was it, 6-3?
Yeah.
Okay, Corbin, you're paying attention? You're still with us? You're not fucking up?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. What's your next point?
Will mass consciousness arise enough to keep the world from incinerating itself into complete chaos, or is this zombie motif going to be like life becomes where art imitates life and life is art.
The roof is on fire. We didn't start the fire. Burn, motherfucker. Let the motherfucker burn. Let this world burn.
Mass conscious is going to get worse, Corbin, is what I am saying.
Basically, you're saying let the motherfucker burn down to the ground, let the roof burn down to the ground. Is that a new beginning or is that a new end?
From the enslaved popular songs, chants, and demands, while princes and lords are held captive in prison, these will be in the future of the headless idiots be received as divine prayers. Nostradamus.
J.W. can dress in any fashion that he wants to. For instance, there's a saying that a beggar cannot hide his poverty, but a king may dress as he will, be it in the finest of clothes or the raggediest of raggedy clothes. J.W.'s wardrobe, is it regular blue collar? Is it regular white collar? Just out of curiosity, how does J.W. keep his grooming and his dressing together?
Everything is very pressed, very ironed.
For what reason?
He prefers it. He's never slept on sheets that were not ironed, ever, one time.
Never. So J.W. has never been homeless, obviously.
Not likely.
Not likely? That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So word means that J.W. not likely has never been homeless. So basically, you cannot be of a spiritual nature.
He doesn't see himself as that.
What is ion? how does he see it? Like, is it a waste of time to pursue spiritual awareness, or is it better off to go swimming and bodyboarding with Bob every day?
The great Senate will ordain the triumph for one who afterwards will be vanquished, driven out. At the sound of the trumpet of his adherents, there will be put up for sale their possessions, enemies expelled. That was Century 10, Quatrain 76.
What does Quadrant 76 refer to?
Oh, the insurgents of ISIS and Tripoli.
ISIS and Tripoli?
Yeah, evacuating it.
What's the new form of slavery? Is it going to be a digital form of slavery, an identity?
No. In the U.S., it's real easy. You go get your welfare checks, then if they cut your checks off, then you ain't got no money, and you ain't no working job, and the Mexicans took all the working jobs, and ain't got no money, and the stock market runs up and down, and you lost all, and Dobbs took all the things, and it only drops his money now. And they can't figure out. Janet Yellen's about to blow her brains out because she's scared to death because it's a mess. And they're all in slaves. They're all in FEMA camps. They're all waiting on what the government's going to do for them next. Canada's got no money. They're down to nothing. People are already asking us how to get rid of what little bit they got left for. It's worth nothing. Worth half or less, and goes on and on and on. So their billions are turning into pennies. Then you got all of them, the EU, drying up completely, so it's down to the prisoners in the prison camp waiting on their rations.
Where's the best place to evacuate to? Dobbstown, Switzerland, or Mars?
They're going to blow up Switzerland, they'll blow up Zurich, they're going to blow up a lot of things. The false trumpet concealing madness will call Byzantium to change its laws. From Egypt, there will go forth a man who wants to erect, edict, withdrawal, changing money and standards.
As you see it right now, how many actual gurus are on the planet, or what people in their dummy-down state of consciousness, the Jesuses, like a Jesus, the son of the father, I've heard you refer to three of them. How many actual enlightened other beings are there on this terrestrial plane besides yourself, Bob, Connie, and myself?
There's lots. The best one, did y'all see the new thing from Ron Reagan? Poor old Nancy Reagan ain't been in the ground a minute, and he's already on the TV whooping it up for the atheists. He says, we have the Freedom from Religion campaign, the foundation, that's what he's speaking for. He said, I'm one of the few atheists who's not afraid to go to hell. He said this on national television. Funniest thing you ever seen in your life.
Had you fucked Nancy Reagan?
She can get it. There's no question.
So basically, you were Nancy Reagan.
More Davis than Reagan.
More Davis than Reagan?
Yeah, she was a Davis.
What's the next tiny event that will snowball into something massive, like something catechismic, just catechismic, so to speak?
Wait, Bob won't let us tell you. We're sorry.
Catechismic. Ina's talked about the caldera. That's pretty bad, Corbin. You know about the caldera?
Corbin.
But the caldera.
No,
yeah,
no.
You know about the caldera. If that fucking blows, most of the solar system fucking gets wiped out. And Ina said it's going to blow, so get happy or get out, or what was the new one? Get ascended or die? It's getting risky there, Corbin.
I'm trying to figure out, like, make my map, how many people, because I'm an equal opportunity offender, destroyer, murderer, genocide baby. How should I plan, map out my schedule in order to offend the whole planet Earth at one time? It would be like the Olympics, I think.
You got an answer there, Ion, for that?
Well, it's silly, because if you're ascending, you'll make your kingdom and batter your hatches, and President Trump has offered to build you a goddamn wall around it. What else would you want?
So you're saying Trump's going to build me a wall?
He's offered to.
Man, I'm going to have to talk to him about this one tonight. You know that bird's nest on his head. Have you fucked that bird's nest on his head? That goddamn toothache? Seriously.
Hi, I'm Ronald Reagan, an unabashed atheist. I'm alarmed at the intrusion of religion in our secular government.
Ion, I'm talking about fucking Donald Trump's toupee. That thing's, it's got enough bush there to, like, you could actually put a little gel in there, a little ion juice, and you might enlighten
him.
That's
stop, you're making it hot. Stop, you're making it hot.
Oh, now I figured it out. There we go. Ion has fucked it.
This had a little kids-gasm right there.
Okay, I'll be quiet for a second.
No, it was nice. It was good for us. Was it good for you? It was good for us.
Bob, give me a few here, and if you'd like, we can get back on some Zappa tidbits.
Oh, no, sorry, you're intruding in the Roxy Hour now.
Oh, you're in the Roxy Hour. All right, wait, I'm going to have to hog up some spot for a minute. Okay, wait. So you're saying that after fucking Donald Trump's orange...
Sorry, it's his hair. He may have paid for it, but it's his hair.
Ion, I have to disagree with you, because in order for us to keep Donald Trump alive, we have to have at least 5 or 6 lookalikes, dummies, puppets for him, and his hairdo is very hard to copy. I've had several makeup artists say, look, this is very difficult. It's not only so ugly, it's just so frail and thin. And then they get all excited, like, you know, like combing it and rubbing their fingers through it. And then once I slap my penis down on Don's head, like, you know, he'll say, sir, is that absolutely necessary? And I'll say, yes, Mr. Trump, this is necessary. I need to provide some of my batter, so to speak, to lengthen your longevity and give you power. That is the power of sex magic, after all, and that is the elixir of sex magic. No secrets there. Have you sent them drops, Bobby? Carolyn, have you sent Trump any drops?
No, we don't do anything with Trump. We only hear rumors. We don't monitor what he's purchasing or anything. At least I don't, and Carolyn doesn't. Maybe Ginny knows, but we don't ask Ginny about it. We just go by what Ion says. Ion's our brother report.
Ion has you both enslaved at this point.
No, I don't think so.
Ion, are you enslaving Bob and Carolyn?
No, but they've got us in a cage.
Oh, there we go. That's interesting. Is a bird happier in the cage, or is a bird happier out of the cage?
Depends.
I'm asking in general.
Based on perspective. The bigger the dog, the smaller a box they like to sleep in. It makes it comfortable.
February 22nd, another happy birthday for you. That makes you how many years old now?
Corbin, it's February 2nd, not the 22nd, 2nd, and I'm 94. 94 on February 2nd, 2016. Not the 22nd.
February 22nd, is it your birthday?
No, my birthday is February 2nd, the same birthday as James Joyce, Ulysses, and Finnegan's Wake.
Oh, okay. My bad. My bad, so to speak. So what does that put you at?
94.
Now, how would 93 shape out as a year? How would 93
I don't look at Corbin. I don't look 94 years old. It's shocking to people.
Oh, no, it's amazing. You look wonderful. Matter of fact, I had somebody send me one of those Facebook pictures of you and I in front of the Hermitage. You look spectacular.
L'Hermitage. The Hermitage.
L'Hermitage.
L'Hermitage.
Yeah, just L'Hermitage. Not L'Ha. Drop the H. L'Hermitage.
Okay.
That's where we were.
So now people will know where you were when you tell them. It's great.
Okay, yes. Well, let's see who else Corbin has a question.
Sure.
A couple of
get back with me. Get back with me in a bit.
Yes.
Tim.
Just left the conference.
Bye.
Are you
bye.
In Los Angeles?
Bye. 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 Bye.